forgot to put this Jeremy Renner story on here. That we talked about it before. He's going to be a part of Spawn.
Oh, nice.
Okay, well, you care. Now I have to put the story on there. Now we'll talk about this. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Morning Show for, July 10th. It's Tuesday. We're almost halfway through the week, and I have a very special guest joining me today on the show to get me to Wednesday, and then I will just have to take the reins of my own life and get myself to Friday.
Yeah, you can muscle through Wednesday.
Yeah, I always think if I can get through Wednesday, Thursday is going to be an easier day, but I work with Greg Miller, and Greg Miller occasionally will do things like go, hey, you remember how Thursday after lunch, we had nothing.
Yeah.
Now we have everything.
Dope.
Yesterday.
That's the best.
Yesterday, before I introduce you, I love rudely not introducing you to the audience for 15 minutes. Yeah. Why I can go with it. Is that for? Is that for Big Daddy? Kevin? You're getting that check right after the show, I swear to God.
Oh, snap.
Right after the show.
Right after the show, you're getting the check. Can we go? Okay. Do you want a nice coffee?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Because I can split this with you.
No.
Yesterday, we recorded a party mode.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it or not, but it was a really fun one.
Yeah.
That's a Let's Play that we do. It's a brand that we do.
Gotcha.
And we did that. Like, I did the morning show.
Yeah.
Then they did Games Daily.
Yeah.
Then we had, like, 15 minutes for lunch. Then we did the party mode. Then we did our MCU in review, where it's a podcast where we're going back and re-reviewing every single Marvel movie, X-Men movie, all these things. Fantastic. You should totally listen to it. Everyone, that's Thursday. This Thursday is X-Men First Class. Fantastic.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
You would think. Go back and watch it.
No.
it's not as good as you remember it being. Yeah. But then Kevin comes to us, and this is Kevin, by the way. And Kevin goes, I have bad news.
Yeah.
One of the feeds from the video, the gameplay feed, borked on us. We had to do it again. And so at 6:30, we had to come back to the table to do it again. And it was like, I slept like a baby last night.
Nice.
And then I woke up and I was like, thank God it's Friday today.
Yeah.
And it is fucking Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, before I rudely keep going, I want to introduce you to my special guest today. DJ Woolridge is here.
Hey,
from
OnlyStupidAnswers.com. If you guys want to go there, he does an amazing podcast. Along with a lot of other things, and our big topic today is going to be one of those things, which is his brand new comic that's coming out very, very soon that he's developing. And I want to talk to him in the minutiae of what it took to get volume 2 of this comic book out. We're going to go into that. Of course, before we do that, we're going to go into housekeeping. You know what, cool Greg? Roll it. Just roll it. I feel it.
Housekeeping, you want me to jerk you off?
What kind of hotel is this?
Now you're smiling because, of course,
yeah,
you love this clip as well as I do. The show started just a hodgepodge of, like, let's go into news.
Yeah.
But before we did that, we used to do a little housekeeping of, like, hey, here's what's going on with the channel. Now it's pretty much all housekeeping with like one or two news stories.
Perfect.
And then a bigger topic. So I was like, we need cool graphics. And then one of the audience members out there was like, I can make cool graphics for you.
Boom.
And
perfect.
Then I was like, could we legally use Tommy Boy?
Yes.
And then I was like, then there was the moral implication of, should I be starting every show off with you want me to jerk you off? I mean, Greg was like, it's okay.
Yeah. It looks like you settled on it being okay.
Here's how a lot of things, and I'm sure you'll sympathize with this
as a
person who runs his own small business. A lot of things don't actually ever, you never actually decide on them officially.
Yeah.
They just keep going
until
they become, until people
They're
out there go, it's a thing.
Yeah.
You can't stop doing the thing now.
Yeah.
And then you go, wow. And then you, if like you live long enough to regret it,
yes,
then it becomes a real thing. You
yeah,
know what
exactly.
I mean? It was really, like we said before, ladies and gentlemen, MCU interview, is happening this Thursday with X-Men First Class. Cool Guard, cue that bad boy up. If you guys want to watch along with us, it is X-Men First Class this week, followed by The Wolverine,
nice.
Which is the movie that everyone forgot got made.
No, not me. I enjoyed that one.
Are you a fan of that?
Yeah.
Now, it's funny because two of my other cast members, Andy and Tim over there on the left, have not seen The Wolverine yet.
Interesting.
I'm excited for them because I feel like this is the first movie where they really nailed the look of Wolverine.
Yeah.
He's got the shorter hair in this. He's like a little, he's like, this is like super Hugh Jackman jacked.
Yeah, and then you got the Japan opening.
You got the Japan,
Hiroshima, which is amazing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, like it's a great opening. And also, if you get the unrated version,
mm-hmm.
there's some rad stuff in that.
Really?
Yeah.
I
want
to watch that then.
Yeah,
we should
make
sure to watch that. I actually remember really liking it.
Yeah. The train fight.
The problem is,
yes.
Tim and I were in a car together. We were going to get lunch, and he was telling me before we announced the audience that we were doing X-Men next. He was like, we should do X-Men because I feel like there's a lot more good X-Men movies than bad X-Men movies.
I think that's true.
And I'm like, I think that's true too. Then I went back and rewatched almost half of them now.
Okay.
That's not true.
All right. So
they're not good.
So what are the ones that stand out?
None.
None? You don't like
literally,
any of them?
Literally. X-Men First Class is the first one you get to where you're like, we're starting to see the problem is this. If you'd asked me this before, if in a world where there's no Marvel Cinematic Universe, I'd have been like, they're all good movies.
Yeah.
But the fact that we've seen what they can be,
you
go back and watch, they're so slow and they're so long and the action sequences are so, because they're more about the character dynamics.
Yeah.
But then with something like X-Men First Class, you don't really care so much about the character. Like, you care about Magneto and you care about Professor X. And you love James McAvoy and you love Fassbender and their relationship together. That's always, to me, the most interesting thing.
Yeah.
Do you care about Banshee? Do you care about Havoc?
Well, that's why most of them don't show up in the later ones. The ones I would stand by not having rewatched
give me your list.
Is X2.
Everyone says it. Yeah. It's slow. We actually ranked X3 above. No. I'm sorry. You're right. X2 was higher on the list than X3.
I was gonna say X3.
But X3 was higher than X1.
That's fair. I don't really have fond memories of X1.
Yeah.
But X2, Days of Future Past, probably the Wolverine and Logan.
Well, Logan is legitimately just a great film.
I would have tapped out with Logan. I felt like Logan was a good time for them to pull the Sony thing and be like, hey, let's partner. That's just a great end, other than the fact that it's depressing. It's a great, like, hey, we told the stories.
But that's what's so great about X-Men is it's supposed to be depressing. It's not, it's, you know, it's a giant metaphor for, like, for people being bigoted against other people or people having unfair bias. Like, you know, like, people who are persecuted, that's the whole point of it. And, like, that is just, there's sadness inherently intertwined in that.
Yeah.
And I love Logan. I fucking love that we catch up with these characters way later. And it just didn't go well.
But I felt like that was a nice, like, that was the goodbye for Hugh Jackman. That was a goodbye for Patrick Stewart. That's a good opportunity to reboot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And pair up with now Disney owns Fox, right?
What's your thought on that?
This is about to go through.
There's another news story where someone, an ex-Disney exec, is trying to sue to stop it, but it's not going to happen.
Okay. What was the other company that was trying to buy?
Time Warner, I want to say.
If I had to choose between Disney and some other giant corporation.
It was Comcast. Comcast was.
I'd rather go with Disney. Like, it's happening.
I hate Comcast because I just hate them. I don't like any service that comes in and looks at it as an investment versus, hey, we can tell some really cool stories here.
Yeah.
And I feel like Disney, I feel like Bob Iger obviously is an amazing business person.
Yeah.
But I think he staffs the people underneath him, especially on the Marvel side, with people who really give a shit about the properties.
Yeah.
And it's like, I almost feel like the X-Men for the last 20 years have been in this custody battle where they got to go live with dad and the evil stepmom.
Yeah.
And now dad and mom are getting back together.
Yeah.
And like they're coming, like the family's like back, you know? Yeah. Like I think it's like we're gonna get an X-Men versus Avengers at some point.
100%.
We're gonna get that
for a good Fantastic Four movie.
Good luck with that.
Hey man, listen.
That series is faded.
The tone of the MCU really fits, I think, well with what the Fantastic Four should be. So I think they can do a good job.
Who was
with
it that said they were interested in doing that? There was another director that just came out and was like, I kind of want to do Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Let me know. I can't remember.
I think you can do some good stuff with those characters. I think they're a good fit for the MCU. I think they're a good fit for the tone of the MCU.
Well, I mean, there's so many. If you look at how many characters Fox owned, there's so many of them that are going to do so well. Like Silver Surfer was over there.
Yep. Get some Galactus in there.
They could do a fucking entire series on just Silver Surfer alone. That would be amazing.
Yeah, man.
I'm very excited.
So so it's like if you're a big mega corporation consuming the world, like, well, if you give me Avengers vs. X-Men, I of the evil corporations or whatever, it's like, I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that. Similar to how you're like, hey, Sony, if you want to just loan us Spider-Man, we'll make a really good movie out of it.
Yeah, but then you get a Venom movie that is not connected, more based on my limited understanding.
Wait, one second. Cool, great. Yeah. Two things. One, can I get a tissue, and two, can we turn this on so you can see the chat as well? I apologize. Continue.
No worries. I think based on my limited understanding, like an ideal situation is if companies split up Fox as opposed to just consuming it whole. So like Disney gets
the film side of it.
The X-Men.
Or at least the characters.
Yeah, X-Men, Fantastic Four, and then other companies. So that way you're not dealing with like a big monolithic, you know.
Well, we will all eat our words eventually.
Yeah.
Like, I have been a staunch supporter of Disney owning every Marvel property they can probably get their hands on, and Star Wars. And I'm starting to turn around on Star Wars. I'm starting to think, thank you for this. It's, you know, this is how we do it.
Hey,
here.
Man.
This is how we do it.
No
here.
Judgment.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Sorry. I've had my every time it gets hot in the city,
yeah,
I guess this is how science works. Flowers bloom, and then my sinuses and all of my allergies go, fuck you, I hate your body, and my body tries to tear itself apart.
Yeah.
My thing is, I love whenever, I'm like the classic fan.
Yeah.
I love when everything's great.
Yeah.
And when I'm loving something, it's perfect, and I made the right decision to support it. But now that Star Wars movies, they've turned into that I don't particularly care for, I'm like, no, turn the ship around.
Yeah.
I don't like it. You guys
are
wrong.
The two being Solo and...
I was not a fan of... Solo was okay.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was not that... It was meh. But I'm unfortunately on the camp where The Last Jedi, I was just like,
I'm also
I
not
don't
a huge
like
Last Jedi fan. Not Pardon for the reasons that the angriest fans are not a fan of it. I did not enjoy it for other reasons, but I'm also not a huge...
I'm not an outrage warrior where I'm going to go in there and be like, this is such a social, like, there are the people that have the what I feel are the unfair bias against The Last Jedi, where they're like, oh, they put all these characters in there that are just, like, super liberal, like, snowflakes. I'm like, I don't care about that shit.
Yeah.
I just care that fucking half the shit didn't matter in the movie. We're not going to get into that, because people start getting pissed at me. Like, oh, every time they, literally, it's a trigger word for my audience.
It's great.
People, once you got there, they go, did he just fucking say The Last Jedi? And they just turned it off. They just turned it off. But anyway, I digress. Let's keep going through housekeeping.
We'll talk about it after the cameras are off.
Yeah, we'll keep going. Because definitely, I've gotten in heated arguments with people I don't even know about this. And I'm like, why do I hate you? I don't even know you. Like, why? This is how polarizing this is. Who was it? I think it was James Mangold just did this big Twitter thing where he's like, stop blaming, like, stop being so outraged at the director and the actors for these things. Like,
here's what I don't understand about that comment is, who is that for? James Mangold saying, like, hey, all you outraged fans yelling at people you don't need to yell at, stop. Well, that's not going to happen.
No, definitely not.
It's definitely not going to resolve the issue.
Where I feel like we should fight the fights, first off, if you're a director or if you're creating something, you are opening yourself up to criticism. That's what you want, right? Mm-hmm. You want people to look at your work and have it affect them in one way. The hope is that it affects them positively and evokes emotions where they go, cool, here's more money, make more of this product, right? But for every one person you're going to have on that side, we're learning now you're going to have an equal and opposite reaction to the other side. Someone's going to be like, this is the worst fucking thing anyone man has ever done. Yeah. This is a travesty. This person should be tried for war crimes.
Yeah.
What I can never get behind, I will never get behind, is harassing an actor for that. They just took a job.
They just showed up.
They showed up. Someone, the powers that be that made the movie go, you're what I want for this.
Yeah, somebody went to them and was like, hey, do you want Star Wars money? And they're like,
yeah. Like that poor girl, Rose, that played Rose Tika.
Yeah.
I hated her character. Mm-hmm. I thought her character was stupid and didn't need to be in the movie.
Yeah.
But at no point is she deserving of, or like the Jar Jar Binks guy, who apparently, I didn't even realize how hard of a time he had.
Yeah.
He like attempted suicide.
Which is unsurprising when you think back on people's reaction to that character.
But I had a negative reaction to that character. And I was like, dude, I mean, I'm a child of the 80s. Yeah. I was born in 1980.
Yeah.
Star Wars and Indiana Jones, that's all we had, man.
Yeah.
You had the occasional Arnold Schwarzenegger movie peppered into there, but that was it, you know? It wasn't until 89 that we started getting other movies that I could really wrap my head around, like Batman and Die Hard. But I hated that character, but like to go the extra length of like harassing the dude that was told by, like, it's George Lucas.
Yeah.
George Lucas was directing me in a film and said, Nick, I need you to do the whole fucking thing on your head.
Yeah.
And I just kept falling over. Yeah. Like, I gotta fucking do it.
Well, it's just like recently, there's all those shenanigans around Batman 50, the big wedding issue and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And DC spoiling it. And people, comic shops were like, hey, tweeted the writer. It was like, hey, people are canceling their orders. I can't believe you did this. It's like, He didn't spoil it.
Like, what do you think I called
the
fucking powers that be at Warner Comics? And we're like, dude, you know.
Yeah, I just wrote the thing. Like, why are you calling me about your sales issues? Like, I don't know. Like, those aren't the people making the calls that you don't like.
Also, I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't read a lot of comics, which is makes me the perfect person to interview you. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's more to the comic than just that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more story in there that you're not going to be disappointed
in. Well, because again, people are trying to make stuff that you're going to like. Like, that's the whole goal. Like, they're not going in like, oh man, I'm going to ruin this for everybody. Yeah. You know what I mean?
This is going to be one trick pony, and if you figure it out before you read it, it's going to be a waste of your fucking money.
Ryan Johnson wasn't like, oh man, I'm going to ruin Star Wars for everyone. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to, they love it too. They just love it differently than you. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
And it's with the Star Wars stuff, it's interesting. It's getting to the point of like making an anime adaption. Like, who is this for? Like, you're not going to make, like, has anybody, you're making this because there's a built-in audience, but the built-in audience is built in to automatically hate what you've done. So who are you doing this for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be happy.
I just feel like,
at least Star Wars movies make money, so that makes sense. But like the anime adaptions, it's like nobody, it doesn't, the people that are supposed to check it out should be fans of it, but they are, no matter what you do, they are going to hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult. We live in a world where, like, the concept of like truth and like what something should be is just totally subjective now, especially when it comes to media.
Yeah.
If you would have told me, even 5 years ago, that they were gonna make a Star Wars movie that bombed, mm-hmm. I would have been like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
And yet here we are.
Yeah.
Solo happened. It did not do well.
Yeah.
People are like, every time I say that, people are like, it did well. It made its money. I'm like, no, by all indications, this is a bomb. Like, this lost money. It did not do well.
Yeah.
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
But I think it's a lot of people coming to the realization that all these sacred cows are just, they're just movies.
Yeah.
And they're fallible.
Maybe
they're just different than they're going to be. And maybe this Star Wars is just not going to be Star Wars like we all thought it was back in the 80s and 90s. Not going to happen.
Yeah. They're just movies or just TV shows.
Oh, God, get over it, everyone. All right, a couple more things on housekeeping. Amazon Prime deal stream, we have that happening next Monday from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. What does that mean for you guys? Well, the downside of that is there's no morning show or Kind of Funny Games Daily, but the upside is it's going to be a really, really fun stream that we are doing on twitch.tv/AmazonGames. That's right. We're doing it for Amazon's official channel, and it's going to be super, super fun. Full of shenanigans, we're planning it. It's going to be a fun time. So just look out for that. But don't say I didn't warn you, because if you guys want your fix of me, you're going to get 4 hours more of me on that day. Also, we did First Class Party Mode. It's live right now. We played Killer Queen Black, which is a really, really fun game. And we played it at E3. And we played it right next to, if you guys see this, there's a couple underage kids behind Greg. They're the other team. And they were just having fun. And they had no idea who all these adult males were. And we talked so much shit to them that I think we made them leave E3.
Whoops.
Well, they got to fucking learn, okay? Because competition breeds excellence. And I didn't compete until very late in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm kicking myself for it. My dad was always like, hey, you can just be a good person. Like, you can, like, collaborate with people. You don't have to compete.
Dad.
And it's like, dad, that's so cute. Yeah. But, you know, should have played football. Should have played football. Okay. Let's see, SDCC's next week. We don't have to promote that till Friday. Okay, we're good. Reminder, if you want to leave a tip for me or for DJ, you want to say something to him, you guys can do that at the $5 above level, and we will read those tips after the news stories happen, I can't wait to hear your opinion on some of these news stories. Speaking of other Spielberg-Lucas collaborations, Cool Greg, roll that news graphic, please. The
Now, you guys are killing it on the graphic game.
AJ.
Man.
AJ, he's out there. He's making graphics for us. I asked him to make a couple more, and he said, you're not paying me, so go fuck yourself. And I was like, well, that's fair.
You don't even know, man. This setup over here is real, real nice. You guys are doing it right.
We had an opportunity when we got the studio to, like, I was like, we're going to be here for a while, so let's really put some thought into this. And it's always funny because people come to visit every once in a while.
Yeah.
And they're always mystified by how small everything is.
Yeah.
Because it looks bigger. Everything looks bigger.
Well,
Like, we're only 3 feet away from this wall right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. We're in a cardboard box. You didn't know, but it looks amazing.
Yeah, but you're also seeing it when it works.
Okay.
There's a distinct possibility that the stream will go down today, the lights will stop, and
that
TV will not work.
For our show, we just got a new set. And, like, I was feeling really proud of it. Now I'm here, and I'm like, got a long way to go.
Well, one of the challenges of the studio was I wouldn't say we make great products, but we make a lot of products.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
We don't do like any like
some weird sales pitch, but yeah,
amazing
I get you.
Podcasts. Yeah. But man, when you come to youtube.com/kindoffunny or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and you're watching this for the first time, you subscribe right now because there's just so much stuff.
You should subscribe. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You're not subscribing, you're not hitting that bell. You're not leaving a comment
on
this video if you're watching on YouTube because we love you very much. Leave a comment letting us know. You know what? Leave a comment about anything but The Last Jedi. How about that?
Give that a shot.
Anything but The Last Jedi. Let's just never talk about The Last Jedi again. One of the hard parts was how are we gonna make everything look a little different?
Yeah, how are
we gonna make it look like we're not filming the same show or different shows in the same set and basically having the same show? So we came up with this the walls and the LED back wall,
nice.
Which ended up being really, 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 really flexible for us, which is great.
Yeah, man.
And then
That's
we have a couple nice cameras and bada bing, bada boom.
Boom.
Kevin put it all through his swordfish-esque control desk over there.
Yeah.
Which was great, and it allowed me to make not one but multiple swordfish jokes.
Hell yeah!
And I love that fucking movie.
Boom!
And
it's on. It's streaming on Netflix right now.
It is. Yeah. Have you gone back and watched that lately?
No.
Not as good as you want it to be either. Tell you what, man.
That surprises me less than X2.
No, yeah, that's that was. I watched that movie for the first time. I was like, this movie is utterly ridiculous.
Why did you watch it for the first time?
Oh no, I watched it back in the day. I watched it when it came out in theaters.
Yeah, why did you go?
Why did I go? Why did I see that for the first time?
Yeah.
Two words, my friend, John Travolta.
Oh, that was not the answer I was expecting.
Well, what did you think?
Halle Berry.
Oh, I mean, Halle Berry was like the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But back in the day, you have to, let's put this in context.
Yeah, yeah.
John Travolta.
Yeah.
Does a little movie called Staying Alive, right? So that's my first entry point to John Travolta.
Fair
I hadn't
enough.
Really heard of Fair him enough. Before. Saw The Boy in the Bubble.
Yeah.
Kind of flirted around with Grease. I knew all these things were out there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I, as a kid, I'm out of order here, because when you're a kid, you have no fucking idea what movies come out. You just know whatever's on TV.
Yeah.
Watch Staying Alive. I don't know why. Love it. The struggle of a dancer trying to make it in the tough, tough New York scene of Broadway. I was like, this is great. Great movies by the music by the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I'm like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
This guy's going to be a star forever. And then John Travolta disappeared. Mm-hmm. Was gone.
Yeah.
Until Quentin Tarantino revived his career.
Yep.
And I fucking loved Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Still to this day love
it's amazing.
Pulp Fiction. It's great to go back and watch that as a person who's made content now for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And you see how low budget that movie actually was.
Yeah.
But it's really fucking awesome. Anyway, long story short is that movie obviously broke it back into mainstream.
Yeah.
Then he goes on a tear that I believe culminates with Swordfish. I think that was probably the last really kind of like good movie he did until he started being absurd John Travolta and now straight to DVD John Travolta.
See, I'm a fan of absurd John Travolta. Face Off is amazing.
Face Off I still think is in that renaissance period.
There you go.
Of John Travolta.
Yeah.
Like Face Off, which I believe also is either on Amazon Prime or Netflix right now.
You gotta watch it, man. If you
dude,
watch
it's so
it, it's
bad.
Amazing.
That was also when Nick Cage
movie.
Was.
Yes.
Like, people were paying Nick Cage millions of dollars to be in movies.
Dude, have you seen Mom and Dad? Nick Cage's most recent movie?
No.
It's from the director.
I saw the trailer.
It's
of
from
it.
One of the directors of Crank. I saw it at Fantastic Fest. It's amazing. It's
now when you say
amazing.
Amazing.
He has one of the best. He has one of the best Nick Cage monologues ever in any movie ever.
What was he doing? Was it about?
No, it's about being a dad. But it's great. You see why people pay him to do this thing, because it is nuts. But even it being nuts, he finds that humanity in it, where I believe in that person. That crazy ass person on the screen right now, I believe that's a real human being.
That's insane. That's just insane to me.
Mom and Dad, check it out. It's on Hulu.
Not the Lysander in the chat says Nick Cage is a saint. I don't know about that.
I agree with it.
I don't know about that. I will always love Nick Cage for Face Off.
Yeah.
I will always love him for Face Off. I will always love him for The Rock. And I will always. There's one movie that he did.
Yeah.
That no matter if it's on TV,
yeah,
I have to watch it.
Okay.
And it's a little-known film. Not a lot of people saw it.
Uh-huh.
Called Con Air.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're familiar with this work. I think it was an indie film. It starred that guy from the 80s that was in everything, John something, John Cusack or whatever his name was. No, all kidding aside, fucking, he had a tear.
Yeah.
He was like it.
Yeah.
And just to see him go from that to like his career cooling off, it's fascinating. I'm always fascinated by that.
Yeah.
And then seeing him maybe come back in. All right, top news story today. Bring this up. Disney pushes Indiana 5. A year to 2021. This is not a big surprise. They're still developing the script, which Steven Spielberg is set to direct. My question for you, sir, is do we... I've asked this question to everyone. Do we need another Indiana Jones?
Do we
want another Indiana Jones?
So, my wife had not seen the original Indiana Jones films. So that allowed me the opportunity...
To show her?
To show her. And rewatching them, I believe they are the closest thing we have to the perfect blockbuster franchise. Those three movies.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the platonic ideal of blockbuster movies. And that's... And it Last Crusade ends with them riding off into the sunset. It's called The Last Crusade. Like they're perfect.
It's one of the rare trilogies
yeah.
where I could actually sit here and debate and argue that the third one's better than the first one.
Exactly.
I could sit here and say they learned all these things and developed all these characters for three movies,
yep.
and by the end of the third movie, it is near, it's fucking amazing.
Those, the first and the third one are basically—
We came for the tapestries.
They're basically perfect for different reasons. They're perfect in different ways. But even, like, I grew up with everybody shitting on Temple of Doom, but you rewatch it, it's like, it's still really good. It's not as good as those two basically perfect movies.
You know what I think people shit on that? I think it's because, I think, first off, there were no Nazis. And yeah. when, I think Indiana Jones is best when he's fighting Nazis yeah. and on some sort of religious crusade
yep.
that has to do with, like, Christianity.
Yeah.
So the fact that they broke that and went to, like, I think, was it Hinduism? Like, what was yeah. the, I don't know what religion they were necessarily yeah. practicing. I don't know if they ever defined it. But the fact they did that, I think, was just too much of a departure for people.
Yeah, and it's a little darker. Because
way fucking darker. Well, dude, he pulls someone's heart out of his chest. Well, it's Om Nam Shiva. You know what I mean? That's fucking horrible.
It's a love
letter. That shit terrified me when
yeah,
I was a kid.
It's a, but it's a love letter to those old pulp movies that inspired it. The old serials and stuff like that. So in that sense, it's really...
Which, by the way, was supposed to have something to do with everything, not just religious artifacts.
Yeah.
Right? They were supposed to have bring in aliens and all that stuff.
But. Sure, but it's then you get to Crystal Skull, and it's they're perfect. Stop. They're perfect. Don't reboot it. I don't want to see Chris Pratt try to be Indiana Jones. I don't need it.
I kind of see it.
No, I love
Chris Pratt, but we get to see Chris Pratt be Indiana Jones. You know where? In Jurassic World.
Exactly.
He puts on a little vest and has a little knife.
How old is Harrison Ford at this point?
87, I think. Oh my God, I was joking, but he might actually be 87 years old. Cool, Greg. Yeah. Google Harrison Ford age. Let's see how old he is.
You're pushing it back here. He's too old, man. Like, he's great. He's still a talented performer.
But I feel like here's what they're going for. He's 75 years old.
Oh, my God.
Still looks fucking great. How dare you?
He does still look great, but I'm not going to be able to buy... And that's the other frustrating thing about Crystal Skull is that he's older than he's ever been, but somehow he's even more invincible. Like, yeah. the whole fridge nuclear that bomb thing. It's like, that's not the appeal. The appeal is he gets shot, he gets beat up. You're like, how is this guy? It's the same yeah. appeal of the original Die Hard.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
The indie is very close approximation. Like his character, I would say, if you were to say what grouping does he fit in, I would say he's very much with John McClane.
Yeah,
he's very much with Jack Burton from Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it is
oh,
these
Big
characters.
Trouble in Little China was so good.
I know, and I was, you know what, the other weekend I was a little under the weather last weekend.
Yeah.
And I was like, Big Trouble in Little China is my comfort food.
Yeah.
Along with the burrito that I got to also be my comfort food.
Perfect.
And I was like, oh man. And I queue it up.
Boom.
It's not on Netflix anymore.
No!
I'm like, God damn it. Do
it's
I really want to
so
pay $3
good.
For this? I start watching the trailer and it's like, ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-da-da-da-da. It's like the old Jack Burton one set. And I'm like, oh, I got to watch this movie. But I didn't
so
watch it last weekend.
Good.
I'm going to save it for next weekend. I started watching Meatballs instead, I think.
There you go.
And that was good.
Yeah. It's hard to beat Big Trouble in Little China.
You can't beat Big Trouble in Little China. No, I feel like Indiana Jones, what they need to do if they want this series to continue is they needed to do what they attempted to do with Crystal Skull before Shia LaBeouf decided to fucking self-destruct,
yeah.
which was pass the baton to them. I saw someone in the comments saying, hey, you know who would make a great indie is an older Tom Holland. And I'm like,
fair.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, but someone like that can bring a different dimension to the character. Because indie was always kind of a dipshit. Like, the running joke about Raiders of the Lost Ark is that if you took him out of that movie, it still would have ended the same.
Yeah.
They would have opened up the case and everyone would have died.
Yeah.
So he really didn't do anything
to
move the plot, which is kind of like antithetical to what a really good story is. You write stories, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
Your main character is supposed to push along the action.
Exactly.
He actually didn't do anything in that, although you could argue that he held them up and like forced them to go to this one particular island. He's kind of a bumbling buffoon.
Yeah.
And we like that about him.
Yeah.
He's a dashing, daring idiot.
Yeah.
And we love that because we see that in ourselves. So we all want to be the person who's courageous, but I'm a dipshit who forgets to go to Starbucks in the morning sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, we'll see where this train wreck goes.
No, I don't need it. It's not, you had something perfect, let it go. Not every franchise needs to keep going on into eternity. Do something new. You can take the.
You know
what I watched recently, and this is not me saying this holds up to Indiana Jones at all.
Let me tell you, they're used to it.
But I just.
I'm a guy who doesn't like The Departed. Let's just put it that way.
Oh wow!
I know that's whose company you're
interesting.
In.
Interesting. Watch The Rundown with The Rock and Sean William Scott.
First off, Rundown's fucking great.
Yeah, it's super entertaining.
Scott
Walken
at it. Oh, wowee!
Yeah, the pitch of it is great. It's like Lethal Weapon, but Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
How did that not do? Try stuff like that. Try those types of things. There's not like, that's the crazy thing about those people that were like, we've got the money to make our own Last Jedi. And it's like, and you're remaking Last Jedi?
Yeah.
Make your own thing. If you have the money, which you don't, obviously,
yeah,
but if you did, make your own thing. What are you doing?
If you've got it, yeah, exactly. If you've got enough money to do that, like, people always do it. And to be honest, sometimes we get amazing things like our RoboCop remake, which is the best thing. If you haven't seen it, it's the best thing man has ever made.
With the dick.
Fatal Farm came in and did the dick thing, and I was like, this is the best thing ever, and one day I want to hire these guys and work with them because they're the best thing ever. That was actually the day I became friends with Greg Miller. Was when we had worked together across the way, and he saw me laughing at something, and I was like, he's like, what are you laughing at? I was like, have you not seen our RoboCop remake?
Boom.
He's like, what are you talking about? And I forwarded him that timestamp to that, and he could not stop laughing.
It's because,
man, it's great. All right, next news story. You're a man who lives in LA. You'll appreciate this. Warner Brothers plans to build a tramway linking Burbank to the Hollywood sign.
Cool.
This is cool. It's completely outlandish and obviously right, but it brings up a very interesting thing.
Yeah.
Obviously. We were talking before about the difference between San Francisco and LA.
Yeah.
Both have pros, both have cons. One of the biggest cons of LA, of course, being the traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The fact that
nightmare.
Sometimes, even in order to go from one city over to the next city, it could take you 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh, at least.
At like 3 o'clock, and then at midnight, you get back and forth in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by LA of the future. Do you see there being tram? Because they're building, obviously, they're trying to figure out how to build railways underneath everything. Can we take to the skies, do you think?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, it's funny because you've seen Roger Rabbit, obviously. Mm-hmm. The whole plot of there being the trams and then the audio companies kind of like scuttle, that one, it was supposed to be the plot of a Chinatown sequel. And also, it's true. They were working on public transit, and then the automobile companies were like, wait, don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Fucked up.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, I think.
Could you imagine if LA had public transit like New York? It would be. Well, no, it'd still be fucking packed. Well, and then even more people would be like, it's great to live here, and everyone would come in, and there'd be way too many fucking people in that city.
And it'd be challenging because it's not as compact as New York is. LA's super spread out. But yeah, this is great because it'd be nice. Like Hollywood, the Hollywood sign's like our one big icon, and it's just sitting up there. We don't light it at night.
You can't get to it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the hike is nice.
Well,
but
now
it's
you
not
gotta
like,
get, now there's like security all around it because people keep fucking with it.
Yeah, and so it's like it'd be cool to have something to take it up there. And yes, we need to figure out, I'm still waiting for, I'd like to see the solar powered self driving electric cars. I think that is the future of that.
I think we need everything.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be self-driving cars on a magrail that like self-charge themselves. They can just keep going forever. I think Uber will run that. That'll be great. They can have my money or Lyft, whatever, whichever one I'm supposed to vote for. I think that we need, I think everything needs to be electrified.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean not that you touch it and it kills you.
Yeah.
I mean, it runs off electricity.
Yeah.
And then the one thing we don't need more of, though, is things flying above us that could drop off packages and crash on our head.
Yeah, I'm with that. They were working on solar power roads for a minute, and I'm feeling that.
Well, at some point they're gonna have that.
Yeah,
at some point, like they're gonna have your car gets charged as it goes down.
Yeah, because we just have this asphalt that is just absorbing
energy
for nothing.
And we make the asphalt so that it can actually like absorb it and repel it, and like you know, like for instance, they have things you put on roofs now.
Yeah.
That will keep the like it's material that will like bounce back the heat, so it keeps the actual building a little cooler.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, and they've been using it for years, and that's great. But I know they're messing around with materials that can actually absorb the energy and spread it out and actually power the building,
like
which is really cool.
Because it's like over.
First off, it's
been over 100 degrees in LA.
We know we can figure it out.
Yeah.
We just don't figure it out because there are major companies out there like the automobile industry that fucked us over in public transit in LA. There's the big oil companies that are like, we can't figure this shit out too fast. I have a friend of mine, an old roommate of mine, that actually wrote a book. I didn't read it because.
It's reading why, yeah.
But it was like it was about fossil fuels and how like we can't get off of them too fast because if all of a sudden the infrastructure of the United States were to be like, hey, let's all go electric, everyone's economy across the world would just collapse because we're so dependent on gas, we're so dependent on oil. Like everything, it's not even about the individual evidently.
Yeah.
It's more about how goods and services are shipped to people, or goods rather. So like it's not about the personal use of a car. It's about how does your food get shipped to a store? That's a gas guzzling machine. That's diesel, you know?
It's
so
like
all the infrastructure of how everything is delivered everywhere is run off of fossil fuel. So we have to slowly evolve that over time, or else we're fucking everyone over.
So it's like if you have a major drug addiction, you can't go cold turkey.
You can't go cold turkey. No.
I don't like comparing infrastructure to drug
addiction. I'd be honest with you, though.
If I'm being honest, it hurts a little bit.
I've never had an addiction to anything, so I wouldn't know.
Fair enough.
It's not that this is my fifth coffee of the morning and it's only 11:35, but who cares? Mm. No, I love the idea that all of LA turns into Disneyland with a monorail, like a sky rail above
it. I'm not against it.
I'm totally loving it.
Get some public transit in there, make it streamline it a little bit, because it's something. It's something living out there.
Cool, Greg. People are saying the stream is dying. Do we know what's happening with that?
Comcast sucks.
Okay, everyone, Comcast sucks. I apologize. But everyone watching this on YouTube, I'm enjoying this a lot.
Yeah, and good news, they're not getting your Fox characters.
Yeah,
so, your
so they can go fuck themselves. Yeah. And also, cut the cord. You got Netflix now.
I do all my stuff through. I don't have cable.
I'm getting close to it. Yeah. The problem is my wife. I love her to death.
Yeah.
She loves the Bravo. She loves the E.
I can guarantee you, both Bravo and E have apps.
Chance.
Okay, all right, because that's what I had to do. My big leap was FX, and I found, and behold, FX has an app.
Oh, they all have an app now. Yeah, my big thing was I was like, this is going to sound dorky, but I watched the Velocity Channel a lot, which used
What's
to
on
be.
Velocity Channel?
Velocity is all cars.
Hell yeah.
It's all about cars.
Super cool.
And so I watch, in order to decompress at night, I like to, sometimes, it ramps me up to watch shows that are like The Walking Dead, where it's like, this is going to fuck your world up, and like everything sucks, and like, every time these characters get a little bit, we take it away from them. Yeah. Super stressful to me. What I like instead is I watch people that go and they find like an old Dodge Charger and they go, we're going to restore this. And then they bring it back and it's beautiful. And that's the end of the show.
Love that.
And
every single one,
the only challenge they face is when they go to strip the paint off.
Yeah.
Right? They'll go to Media Blast, which is fucking cool as shit. Yeah. They blast the paint off with like these little grains of sand.
Yeah.
Which you can't do, I learned, with early Japanese aluminum, because it's too thin, it'll blast through, it'll warp it. Mm. Anyway, long story short, American steel you can.
Yeah.
Because these cars are heavy as fuck. Anyway, the biggest challenge they always face is they always find a little rust. I'm like, oh, we didn't account for this.
The rust.
This is going to set us back, but it's always an hour-long show, so no matter how many months it sets them back, I'm still on the same track to finish the fucking project. Yeah. Makes me feel real good. Big Kev Dog, how's it going? We good?
Yeah, good. I was just trying to see if the internet was stable. I don't know what's going on.
We're recording, right?
Yeah.
OBS? Well, we're fine. We're having a great conference.
Forget you, Comcast.
Yeah, they just, I don't actually blame Comcast too much. I just think that, the infrastructure for running a successful streaming business out of an apartment in San Francisco might not be there yet.
What?
What are you going to do? Cool, Greg. Bring up this next news story. George Clooney recovering after scooter crash in Italy.
All right.
Baller. You know what I mean? I just imagine George Clooney in a mall just hanging out at his villa in Italy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to go to the store and get some milk. And he just gets out a scooter and little shorts and crashes. And it's just it's all so very cute and provincial.
I like that. I like more celebrity stories like this, not the ones where like, hey, the celebrity you at least know about died or horrific, whatever. I don't need that.
Or the celebrity did something terrible and you're like, oh,
no,
I
don't
hate the celebrity now.
Well, because it's the thing now is like you're on Twitter and you see a celebrity's name tag and you're like, ooh, did they die? Or
what
did they mess somebody up?
It's never good.
I don't want to know. And then it's like,
but God bless
this person is 90 years old. Like, oh, thank God.
You're like fantastic right now. Like, what's his name? The guy, Steve
Ditko?
Yeah. He passed away recently.
Yeah,
right.
But he lived to be, here's the thing, man.
He's 90.
You're 90, and you created some of the most iconic characters in the world. You did your bit.
Baller life.
Yeah, like I don't.
Wait, did he do X-Men?
No, he did Spider-Man. He did Doctor Strange. He did The Question for DC. Actually, a lot of the characters that were the inspiration for the characters in Watchmen were Captain Adam, Blue Beetle, Question are his.
Got it.
So
I mean, you had me at Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man is arguably
the most iconic superhero
ever. You know what I mean?
I would say Batman and Spider-Man are the two most iconic superheroes, and Superman obviously. You got Superman up there. But as far as I'm concerned,
yeah, those are the two that will sell.
He's in the top five.
Yeah.
And so you've done that, and that's pretty amazing.
And you lived to be 90, you did good. Like,
who would you put in your top five comic book characters ever created? Like, comic superheroes?
For me, I'm a big Superman fan.
Okay.
He means a lot to me.
I notice.
Well, there you go. Spider-Man is, I think, arguably the we talked about Indiana Jones being the platonic ideal. They're kind of, Spider-Man's like the ideal of the mechanics of a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the biggest Batman fan, but I think if you're talking like top, like, come on.
He's got to be in there. He's 100% in there. Yeah, I will not allow you to leave this building until you say Batman is top five.
And again, like, he's inspired so much. Wolverine's got to be in there.
Wolverine's got to be in there, right?
Who's the fifth? We got two DC guys, two maybe something like a Wonder Woman.
I think Wonder Woman has to be in there.
That really, like,
for what she's done culturally, especially in the last like 10 years. Come on. You got to throw that in there.
So All the X-Men, for the most part, are super, like, especially growing up in the 90s, watching that cartoon and stuff like that.
Morph.
Exactly, man. People, everybody's like, oh, I don't need a Gambit movie. Gambit's lame. It's like, I don't know, man. I grew up in the 90s. I think Gambit's dope.
I think that...
I don't need a standalone Gambit movie, but I think the character's dope.
He's fucking dope.
Yeah.
And A, B, one of the things that I have to really pay attention to is judging these movies through nostalgia versus sort of how you see them now. Yeah. Obviously, like, everything's subjective, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you watched it, as a child in the 90s, in 1993, there was fucking nothing on television, period. I mean, there was only like, this is like, it's just cable starting to come into fray, but no one's making a lot of shows for me, right? That speak to me. You see the 1993, I keep saying 93 like I fucking know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's 90s, we'll just say 90s. X-Men cartoon happened, and suddenly it was a revelation.
Boom.
And I recently went back and watched it, I think like a year and a half ago, because it was on Netflix for a while. Still good, obviously rough around the edges, but like tried to be as faithful as possible to those characters. Yeah, I think to this day it's the best representation of those characters in like like an action format, as not on a page.
I agree with that. Because
fucking Wolverine was tiny and awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and for me, that's kind of why when everybody's...
Morph.
Yeah, like when people are like, who should be the next Wolverine? And Hugh Jackman was like Tom Hardy. It's like, that is actually kind of perfect because he's shorter.
Yeah.
But he's like, he'd actually be really good.
He needs to be wider though. I don't know if Tom Hardy can put... Oh, Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
I thought they were saying Tom Holland.
No. Tom Hardy, like Bane.
Hardy would be awesome, but I don't think...
Because he's actually a pretty short dude.
I don't know if he's going to read that short on camera though.
Yeah, well, because especially in Hollywood.
But everyone else is short around him. I don't think there's that many... Like McAvoy's not that tall either.
Yeah, that's fair. Talking about that, like the 90s Batman cartoon, like go back and revisit that. It's like, it holds up. It's still really good.
Oh.
Justice League Unlimited. Still
Wait, are you
really
talking about
good.
Batman the Animated Series?
Batman the Animated Series.
Is the best animated series ever created. I would say that and the Justice League, to me, those two series together, because they played so lovingly and nicely together, are top three animated series of all time.
It's super impressive, and especially if you go back and watch Justice League Unlimited, it's shocking how many thoughtful ideas. Like, there's an episode called The Patriot Act that dealt with what America was going through at the time. It's like, this is a kid's cartoon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And people still got fun. And
not only do you have a bunch of fun, colorful characters punching each other, and meanwhile you're dealing with like where the country's at, but it's characters. It's Shining Knight. It's Vigilante. It's nobody knew about those characters before that.
And
most people do not
still
now,
don't know about them.
But you know what I mean?
I watched it. And I can't remember. I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the
like,
cowboy. It's the knight. It's Green Arrow. It's like that's what they were doing. It's cool. Like, it's a cool use of it's good stuff. I appreciate.
Are you excited for Young Justice coming back?
Yes.
Are you bummed that it's on the streaming service?
No.
All right.
I'm going to get the streaming
of
service.
Course you are.
Come on, man. I am the target demo. I'm
going to
watch
Gold
that.
Says Hit Rock.
I'm going to watch that Titan show. I'm going to watch Young Justice. I'm glad they're pairing the comics up with it. I think that's a smart way to try and distinguish themselves from all the other streaming services. Yeah, I agree. It's tough. They heard the news recently. There was this report about the new AT&T guy that's running HBO was like, hey man, we need to be more like Netflix. And it's like, I like what HBO is doing. Like, he's like, more content all the time.
No,
and it's like, like HBO's like, hey, we're not going to turn out a bunch of content, but it's going to be the best content.
First off, they're making too much content because they, in my opinion, I could not get into Westworld season 2.
I'm not the biggest Westworld fan.
The first season I absolutely adored. Like, I will stand up to that. That is one of the best first seasons of TV ever created.
Right.
Then the second season came out and it was just muddled. And I'm like, oh no, I think they've lost their way here. And some people say they pulled it back by the end, but it's too much for me. The problem now is the margin for error with anything that you make or any opinion that you have or anything you do is so little. That
so
people are just like,
there.
We're gone. I'm gone.
Yeah.
You've lost me.
Yeah.
I'm moving 100 miles a minute, a second. Mile a minute.
Yeah.
I'm moving a mile a minute here.
Yeah.
And if you like, what? No, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Because there's so much. There's and so much content out
evidently,
there.
Evidently,
like,
Andy saw Sharp Objects, which is the new HBO series, and he said it's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out because it's the writer from Gone Girl, which fucking blew my mind.
Blew my mind. Also, shout out to Ben Affleck's dick.
Yeah. Because that was one of those, like, people like, oh, the twist. And so you go in like, oh, the twist, I've got it. And then you see the movie, you're like, what just
you're
happened?
Like, fuck.
So, and Amy Adams, love. I'm gonna check it out.
Dialing it back, we're talking about a lot about comics. Yes. I do want to talk to you about the comic that you are developing
right now.
So, cool, Greg. Let's pull this up. Oh yeah, big topic. That's right. I'm sorry. He's on the fucking ball. We got another graphic for you.
Oh snap! I'm in it, man.
All right. Bring this up, Chaos Theory.
Yeah.
Zombies versus Dinosaurs, Volume 2 is your new jam.
Yes.
If people go to chaostheorycomic.com right now, you can see, it's GoFundMe? No.
Indiegogo.
Which is almost done. Almost hit your limit.
Yeah, last time I looked before we were taping, 95%.
Yep.
So we're almost there. This is the last week. So we did Volume 1 last year. It did really well. That was also on Indiegogo. It went to a bunch of comic shops across the country, sold out 3 printings.
Now let's dial it back. Let's talk about Volume 1. How did that come about? Where do you get off, sir, making your own comic book?
Well, because I love the medium.
Yeah.
And so I thought, like, I wanted to try my hand at it, and I wanted to do something that was kind of like fun.
Was this your first comic book?
Yep, first one ever. And so I wanted to do something that wasn't like necessarily my heaviest idea. You know what I mean? I wanted to do something.
I mean, zombies
fun.
Versus diet. There's a lot you can work with in there politically. Dinosaurs are like, we will not go extinct. We will we'll migrate to whatever country we want.
Exactly. Well, you got zombies and dinosaurs together. You deal with the idea of extinction and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's the deep. You dip my toes in those waters of like. What it takes to survive and whatever, what we're doing to ourselves a little bit. But anyway, the idea that came to me was, you've seen Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead remake, right?
So Wolf Fox 10 JC says, my money's on the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Yes, Dawn of the Dead. Yeah, yes, you loved it. That's the one with Ving Rhames and I forget the actress's name.
That movie ends with them trying to escape the zombies by sailing to an island, right? Mm-hmm. And I was watching that and I was like, oh man, what if that island was the Jurassic Park island? Like, you go from the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it was just a fun idea, but it wouldn't leave me. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't, like, the concept, I was like, I think that works, you know what I mean? So I started playing it out, and the science that inadvertently created the dinosaurs, two scientists were working on this material, and one of them went off to an island to use the technology differently. So this one scientist inadvertently creates zombies, and trying to find a cure, goes to the island where her cohort was at, and he's made dinosaurs, shenanigans ensue.
I love it.
Yeah, so this, in Volume 2, they're trying to get back to her lab to create the cure for zombies, and they were on, the Volume 1 ends with them on a boat.
Well, don't spoil Volume 1, because all these people
Well, you know what, if you haven't gotten Volume 1, there are tiers where you can get both Volumes 1 and 2, if you want the whole story. Both covers are limited edition, you can only get them here. Once this campaign's done, it'll be different covers. From here on out.
So you go from, I have this wacky idea that won't leave me.
Yeah.
To then, I assume, sitting down and writing it.
Yes.
What are next steps for you?
Do you pitch
this around? Are you finding artists? Are you packaging this together?
The secret is you gotta, for any comic, is no matter how good you
write it.
Because
people are gonna say, how do I make my own comic out of this?
You gotta find the right art. If you are an artist, God bless you. All of this thing will be so much easier for you.
But then you have to write, and artists suck at writing.
They can. Yeah, there's like, it's just been
my experience that if you have one, you just don't have the, it's a different
part
of your
brain. It's very rare. It's very rare. There are people
I'm being
like,
facetious, obviously. There are people who are very talented.
Darwin Cook, who was incredible. He's an incredible artist. He's an incredible writer. He's just incredible. I'm a big fan of Daniel Warren Johnson, who does both. You got to find, as good as you write it, you got to find an artist that really like hits the tone you want. And good artists, this is their job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So just like you do your job, you want to get paid for your job.
Right.
You got to pay them.
So you're saying the expectation of, hey, you're gonna work for free for me for
no,
a year.
No, don't ever do that to anybody. Unless you're like Rick Remender or somebody that you know your book is gonna sell.
Yeah.
And so they can sell in shops like that artist. Don't ask anybody to work for you for free in the hopes that down the road, you know what I mean, you're gonna make money off of it, because odds are you're not.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just you're talking about shows out there, mm-hmm. like people, you have to grip them within a couple episodes, mm-hmm. first 15 minutes, whatever, or they're gone.
Comics, same way.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
I've started so many comic books, so many that people say, you got to try this, you got to try Descender, you got to try these things. And I'm like, I see why you'd like this. It's not getting me.
Exactly.
And once, after 10 pages, I'm like, I'm done.
This
I got to go.
Why kind of the appeal for me is these stories are self-contained. Like volume one was 36 pages, one self-contained story. You get everything you need. This one's over 60 pages mm-hmm. and also self-contained. This should be all you need. You know what I mean? I like it's less demanding on the consumer of like, oh, you've got 12 issues and then whatever. No, this is it. This is the thing you need. You're good to go.
So how much did you ask for the first one versus this?
So the first one was 12.
And you got that.
And I got that. We went well over that, which was
for people
cool.
out there saying, okay, I want to pay my artists. I want to.
Yeah.
So indie or GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Indiegogo, Kickstarter, whatever, Patreon, all of these crowdfunding platforms, how do you drive people to that? What was your strategy for saying, like, because $12,000 is not an inconsequential amount of money to try to raise if you're just starting out.
It's a pocket
change for me.
And then, exactly.
I was about to go, great. Gang and shit. That's what I'm talking about. We go out there, we take what we want. We don't wait for the fucking night to give it to us. We go out into it.
Well, and we have the benefit of these platforms.
Of course.
Like you have this, I have Only Stupid Answers and all that stuff. And so you have the built-in fan base. If you don't have that, it's a lot more challenging. And there's a lot of advice on, like, you know, I made a landing page for it. I tried to use the volume one to kind of help promote this one, but it's challenging for me. This actually started as a Kickstarter with a much more ambitious, bigger project. And
what was that project?
It was more of this, and the Kickstarter didn't gain traction. So we went back to Indiegogo, where the first one was successful.
Okay.
This one's been doing significantly better. And those are the things you can't, like, the Kickstarter audience versus an Indiegogo audience. Those are the stuff that, unfortunately, there's a little, even though I've done successful campaigns before this one, you don't know how the audience is gonna respond all the time. You know what I mean? And
yep.
There's trial and error, which I don't know about you. I'm not a huge fan of.
No.
I don't
trial
like
trial and error costs money.
Yeah. Learning
I don't like that.
Learning things usually means you've made a mistake along the lines, and I'm not a huge fan of that experience.
Yeah. I did an animated show that I'm sure a lot of people out there would have a couple comments for me about, but that was a learning. Let's say it this way. Lesson learned, ladies and gentlemen. Don't do animated anymore. How did you find the artist? Then for this, who did you reach out? Were you a fan of his work?
Well, no, I because I needed somebody that was super talented, but that also I could reasonably afford.
Right.
So I went to DeviantArt. Classic DeviantArt. It's still around, and you can go to there's some images of the comic there. The cover artist actually is Tom Neely. He's kind of a legend in the comics world, and I became friends of his through the comic shop. He does a comic called The Humans. I also have, there's prints you can get from artists like Derek Robertson, who co-created Happy, which by the way, if you haven't seen Happy on Sci-Fi, that show's amazing. He co-created The Boys, which is getting its own series. He did Transmetric Problem with Warren Ellis. Anyway, a bunch of cool stuff from a bunch of amazing artists, but my main artist, I went to DeviantArt and I looked up dinosaurs.
Really?
And I scrolled through until I saw stuff that I thought was dope, and then I reached out to him. And because that's the other challenging is you can find an artist that can do like a cool image, but can they tell a story?
Right.
Can they do a sequential story? So I looked at their stuff and I saw that he could do the kind of stuff I wanted to do. The style kind of fitted what I wanted. I reached out to him with the rate I wanted to do and he was down. And so we did volume one and he's back for volume two. And then you have to find a colorist.
Right.
Yeah, our colorist is Lisa Moore. She's worked on a bunch of the Boom Disney books, Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck. Then you have to find a letterer. Unfortunately, I was.
You can't just do it in Photoshop. You can't just go in there and
listen. I was
it out in Photoshop.
I was at Emerald City Comic Con this year, and one of the comic creators was like the biggest red flags to somebody being green, not being professional, is your coloring and your lettering.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you want to get people that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So our letterer. Fortunately, I know other people that work on comics, so I used one of their.
Interesting.
Letters.
I would say that's the same, by the way, in film. A lot of people I talk to that do indie stuff, indie projects, have the hardest time finding a colorist. And I don't mean that, obviously, they're not going in frame calling. But the fact that people that can actually go in and tweak the color of an image to help tell a story is a very, very, very specialized thing that
and
people
sound.
Go, I don't need that. I've got Premiere, and I've got this plugin, and it's totally fine. And it's like, no.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Sound design is also another
sound
one.
Sound design's a
sound
big one.
Sound recording and sound design is always a huge... Yeah. I always stand by the fact that if your movie sounds good and is colored correctly, that can make up for a lot of mistakes of filming or a simplified version of how you film things. Yep. Sorry, continue.
Yeah. So,
Photoshop.
No Photoshop, yeah.
Find someone who actually is good at the art form.
Exactly. So then you do your letter and then you're off to the races. But you gotta, the reason I'm crowdfunding is you gotta pay all those people because that's their job. If they're good at it, it's their job.
From the second you hit 15K, to the second the first issue comes out, how long is that process for you? I know it depends on like how much shit you like. Okay, we're going to 50 different scenes. Obviously, it's going to take long. But ballpark it for me. Like, what is the average length of? You already got your team together now.
Yeah.
Can they knock this out? Can they knock an issue out a month? Is this longer for you?
Well, the pages are basically done. For volume two, so it's a matter of coloring and lettering.
Okay,
getting that done, and people will be getting the campaign's ending this week. They will be getting the comic in December.
Okay,
yeah, but like
the full thing, 60 pages.
Yeah, wow. full thing. It'll be at your door plus whatever extra perks you got. That will be at your door in December. So that's the other thing. If you're self printing.
Mm-hmm.
That's another expense, you know what I mean? Like I've had to go through a few different printers to see, the quality of the product versus affordability.
Right.
That's always a fun process.
I hate those.
That turnaround. But normally it's another thing if you're talking about crowdfunding pitching out, you want to have a little bit to show people. You're gonna have to spend a little money ahead of time to sell people on what it is. You can't be like, hey, I've got this idea.
You gotta market it to people, right? If you're saying, hey, you're giving me your money for this. And obviously like early crowdfunding, people just throw money into a void and sometimes people just wouldn't even do the thing.
Yep.
Remember people got in trouble for that where like, you just took like 20 grand and you didn't do shit.
Yep.
And there's no ramifications for this.
Yeah.
So obviously like you wanna make sure you come through and fulfill your promise. Writing wise.
Yeah.
This is a weird just semantic thing for me because I'm a writer myself. Not so much in like I actually put pen to paper, but in my brain I think I'm a writer. How do you go about writing a comic book? Because I know there's different ways. What is your process?
Crazy thing. So you worked on an animated series. Mm-hmm. Did you write for that as well?
Yeah, that is a little bit more of my ballpark though, because I have a screenwriting degree.
There you
so
go.
I came from okay.
Well, I mean writing degree. My school didn't have a specific screenwriting thing, but my
mine
thesis
had a film
was
studies degree. But you either went production or you went writing, and I chose writing because I was lazy. Spoilers: writers are very lazy people. If you don't have to leave your house, writers love that shit. So I obviously have been working with Final Draft for the last fucking 20 years, and I love that program, and I love all the cell text and all this. I'm very well acquainted with screenwriting format.
Yeah,
is my long story short on this. What does the artist actually get from you?
Well, it's similar, but it's interesting because there is a format for writing. I've also written shorts and features and all that shit. But there's a specific format for that. Comics is a little bit more Wild West in that it depends on the writer. So my style is similar to traditional screenplay style because that's what I was doing before. Mm-hmm. But it was challenging to figure out like what the expectations were because everybody has like their own way of doing it, which is kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
There's not like a
it's
standard.
It's not like,
it's
not, you have to have three holes punched, but two brackets in there and you have to have a cover.
Exactly.
It makes sense now you look at it, you're like, it does kind of make sense that there is a standardized way of doing, of making movies. But even in screenwriting, like I used to be a script reader for a small company and you would get just, like obviously people were submitting scripts and they were not established writers, but I go back now and I read a lot of scripts of like, actual shooting scripts, and they're all over the fucking map too.
Yeah.
With like actual formatting errors and things like that.
Yeah.
How do you represent a super title over the screen? How do you do these things? So long story short, so you actually just go through and do like, hey, this is, we're indented, here's the dialogue, here's the description.
Yeah, for the most part, it's relatively similar with, there's a little bit more flexibility with the way comic scripts are formatted. Because like dialogue and movie scripts is like this little box essentially.
Yeah.
That's not how I do dialogue in a comic script, but you do number all the dialogue and the sound effects, so your letterer kind of knows what they're looking for.
Okay.
it's more descriptive. Like my experience with writing screenplays is you don't like, and the camera angle is here.
No, never write camera angles.
No. Comic scripts that help, like I want it from this perspective, like the, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like you want to give those details.
So you're putting a little more detail in the descriptions of everything.
That so and sense. It also kind of depends on your relationship with the artist as well, and like how they work. So it's more fluid, which has its own challenges. But I think I went the same direction in that you want it to be clean. You want mm-hmm. it to look clean, same like a script. You want it to look clean, read correctly, because at a certain point the artist is your audience for the script, mm-hmm. and so they need to understand what you're saying so that they can
right
make the thing.
Do you give them like specifically, hey, you, this is every panel? Hey,
yeah, what's up, Andrew? So they skip the...
Hi, Nick.
How are you?
Hello.
Do you know Andrew?
DJ.
That's DJ.
DJ nice Andrew. To meet you.
Andrea's on the show after this, and okay. every time I hit about noon, when my show was supposed to end 15 minutes ago, she always comes in and goes, you gotta speed it up. I got stuff to do.
I got a life to live here.
You got a great life to live.
Thank you.
You're living your best you. Your best life.
It's a pretty good year so far.
I missed you. I didn't see you all last week.
I know.
Am I going to see you at Comic-Con next week?
Oh, I'm going to be there all week.
We're going to be sweating in the San Diego heat with the two of us, because you're going to be at Comic-Con, right?
Maybe. We'll see.
Three okay. panels, Nick.
Oh, my God. Where do you find the time? Where do you find the time to host three panels and raise this beautiful boy behind you? Look at him. Look at him. Are you cold, Greg?
I am.
How the fuck are you cold? It's like 80 degrees outside.
It's 80 degrees outside.
I feel like I have that exact same shirt.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Stitch Fix?
The purple button up. It's not, now that you've come closer, it's not the same, but the principle's the same.
Cool, Greg. Let's go full screen so we can see Greg's ensemble.
Yeah, I'm so cool.
I have a similar shirt.
I biked in, of course. Didn't bring my sweatshirt.
I like that humble brag. Like, I biked in, of course.
Biked in, no yeah. big deal.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
It's San Francisco.
No, okay. I'll be honest with you. Greg doesn't humble brag. He just brags.
That's fair.
I mean, there's no humility. I beat Nick. I beat Nick for the championship.
If you're cycling through San Francisco, that's something to brag about.
You know what I mean? There you go. And so I didn't pack my sweatshirt somewhere in the backup sweatshirt I keep here.
Boom.
That's when you know I'm cold. That's a good pull, Nick.
Yesterday, we were doing the Let's Play, and you and I were, after that, we had to do the podcast.
Right.
And we were wearing the same shirt.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, I'll change my shirt. And I'm like, no, I got this. And I went into my Mad Men drawer.
Yeah.
Remember how Don Draper, this is a terrible reference, because he goes in and he's got the shirt and all that stuff in there.
Because he just fucks everywhere and then he comes
He's always fucking. He's like, he just smells like sex constantly.
Sure.
I'm the opposite of that. I don't fuck ever, but I like to keep the extra shirt in there.
Sure.
And my shirt's not pressed.
Just in case you get a little of the sweat.
Well, we have a merch store, kindoffunny.com/store.
Check it out.
Well, we only have 4 t-shirts on it.
No.
And so inevitably, we all end up wearing, at least we have a Slack feed for just who's wearing what.
Nobody uses it. I use it all the time.
I use it all the time.
Yeah.
I use it
all the time. And then I show, and then Tim's like, I'm wearing this. And I'm like, you fucking moron. I hate you.
Check your stupid fucking Slack feed, man. Slack feed. We're around it. We're going
to
read tips, and then we're going to just.
Trying to get him to wrap the show up, Greg.
Well, you got to come use this microphone.
Oh, no. I just like to yell at him from the doorway.
I like it. I missed it. I'll be honest, all last week, I was like, something is missing. Yeah. The impending sense of doom is just not lingering over my head. Oh, Andrew is back. Okay,
yeah,
there it is.
Exactly.
That's what motivates all of us.
It doesn't make sense of doom.
You can't motivate me with good things. I got to be motivated by fear.
All like all of us.
Always.
I'm happy to strike the fear of God in you.
Well, you've succeeded.
Wonderful.
You've succeeded.
All right, we'll get
I love the top knot, by the way.
Thank you.
Love
Where'd you get this shirt?
This shirt, you know what?
Greg, stop distracting
it. DC offices. I thought it would be an easy answer.
DC offices.
Thank you.
Yeah. DC offices.
That's a humble brag.
Long story short, yes, you do panel. You do panel by panel, and then you describe what's in the panel, and then it's dialogue and sound effects, and that's essentially all the rules that there are. And then you number each panel like 5-1, so page 5, panel 1.
Got
page
it.
Five,
okay.
Panel 2.
Okay, so totally different than
Boom.
Screenwriting.
Yeah, yeah.
Screenwriting
so that's,
format.
Yeah, and then because I can be kind of anal sometimes, and I don't like being imprecise, and then having to give my artist notes later, like, hey, you should have told me that. If you've ever gotten notes, it's like, hey, if you wanted something that precise, maybe you should have told me ahead of time. So I try to think ahead of the curve. So if it's a page that I have a very specific idea, I'll do a rough, really bad garbage outline that just gives them a sense of like,
got it.
Hey, this is specifically this is what I want because I don't want you to spend your heart and soul on something and
His
then me
time
to tell
and your
you.
Money.
Exactly. And then have me tell you like, oh, that's not what I wanted.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's smart.
So
that's smart.
So there you go, and chaostheorycomic.com, that's where you can pick up both volumes 1 and 2 if you missed it. Also, if you let me know in the comments that you're coming from Kinda Funny, you will get a postcard map that has details about the comic that are not in the comic itself.
That's beautiful.
So it's the undead states of America, and as you can see, Florida's not there. California's broken off. Yeah.
At some point, maybe in volume 3, can there be a character that goes to this old decrepit office above a comic book shop?
Absolutely. Well, here's the thing. There are tiers where you can get drawn into the comic.
Oh,
and if you
I
want
like
these boys to get drawn in, as long as we can get, it doesn't need to be you.
Zombify me.
Yeah, there is, I think there is at least one tier left where you can get drawn in as a zombie, and as long as we can get their permission, we'll draw them in.
Oh, you have my permission.
Boom.
You can draw me in any way you want. If it's a dinosaur with a fucking beard, I'm in.
I can also guarantee, I think all the tiers of being drawn in as a survivor are gone, but those definitely die. You definitely die by either
gotta be more survivors at some point.
A dinosaur or an alien.
Make me whatever you want to make me, ladies and gentlemen. Just make me. All right, let's go into some tips real quick, and then we do have to round the show up because we are getting a little long. C.DD says, I left a tip yesterday before the garbage truck on fire aired and wasn't read approximately 10:45 a.m. So, also, what's your opinion on The Hitman's Bodyguard? It's on HBO right now and hilarious. Let me look. Sorry. I liked The Hitman's Bodyguard. I don't necessarily think they needed to make a second one of those.
Is there a second one?
Yeah, they're making a second one.
Oh, I heard enough things about that movie that I did not see it.
It was exactly what you think it was.
Cool.
I don't see your tip from yesterday, sorry, and I don't think I can go back, so I apologize about that, but thank you for tipping us, and I'll just make up the caption. Nick is the best at everything. He's great. Thanks. Here's my tip. T. Josh says, I want 4 hours of Nick. Also, any updates on Cool Greg's Nintendo Switch troubles? Cool Greg, can we sort that out?
Nah, I'm pretty sure I just need to buy a new one.
He's got to buy a new one.
Oh, man.
Panzer G2 says, DJ, yeah. I still miss Superhero Roundup. That show was really something special. Glad to see you on KF content. All hail the K575.
If you miss Superhero Roundup, go to Only Stupid Answers. And on our Patreon, we talk about all the superhero shows, all of them.
Oh,
all the DC ones, all the Marvel ones, all that stuff.
So FYI, it's still happening, just under a different name. Only is what he's trying to say, but I'll say it boldface because he doesn't want to get sued. Joe Cruz says, whatever happened to predictability? The Milkman, the Paperboy, Evening TV, you miss your old family's friends waiting around the bend. Sometimes people just want to give us money and then just quote old lyrics from old intros for TV shows.
Man.
Whatever happens to predictability?
I love this. You're going to stop there?
The Milkman, the Paperboy, the Evening TV. Oh, well, I'd like to sing more, but the fucking peanut gallery over there is like,
this is what
speed
you
up your creativity. We got to get to our stupid boring show where we just fucking read facts off of IGN.com. Okay. Okay. Sorry, I booked the special guest.
I think I'm weeks in the middle ago. Of something.
We didn't. Greg booked you. I didn't know you till today, but I'm glad I know you. Let's see.
Yeah,
Kevin Hollicks has been real busy lately on working towards my film art goals. After all the great advice from the KF Prom meet and greet and all the aspiring best friends, appreciate all the support I've been getting. Rank the MI movies. I'm watching them all with my dad.
Oh, nice.
They're great. I'm reading tips. What do you want me to do? They keep leaving tips because they love this show more than yours.
Read faster.
Robin GL says, hey, boys. Just wanted to
congratulate. We have more viewers than you do. Whatever.
That's true. Oh my laptop's at 20%, so we have to go.
You know when mom and dad fight, and you're visiting your friend and mom and dad fight? Yeah. It's like, whew.
Well, I'll tell you one thing right now.
Yeah.
It's not a fight. She's going to win. Boys, just want to congratulate Nick on his first Schmodown win. You guys did great. Also, keeping my promise of including a picture of the King of Sweden every time I tip. Here he is holding an owl. Cool, Greg, please clip on that, and we'll end the show that way. Let's click on that, bad boy. Do you see it? Right there. I want to see this. The King of Sweden is a G, but no!
You got 404.
It didn't work. Hold on, I want to see if it works on my end. Nah, 404. Sorry about that. Send us another one tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. It is 12:10. I apologize. You know we're gonna have to just round the show out a little early today. No 3-3. No PS. I love his best friend XOXO. We'll double it up tomorrow. I promise. I love you very much, DJ. It's been a pleasure,
dude. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
It's you're welcome so here great. Anytime you want to come.
I really appreciate that. I love what you guys are doing here. This everybody. Hey, man, you are so super cool. This is great.
If you guys want your comments responded to, I apologize we can't get to the chat right now. Blame Andrea. But if you're watching this on YouTube or you want to go back, give us a view on YouTube and leave whatever comment you had for us there. I will more than gladly go on all day today and respond to those comments. I love spoilers. Any comment that has to do with me, good or bad, I will respond to probably. So Omega Batman, I fucking see you out there. I see you out there.
He's got his eyes on you.
There's one commenter that just calls me an old fogey every time. And he fucking starts the comment
That's fun,
with
though.
Something nice. Like, hey, Nick, your hair looks really great today.
Yeah, but
was it awesome when that sprouted in 1910? And I'm like, you motherfucker.
Damn.
You see what I'm saying? Everyone, again, apologies for running the show off, but blame Andrea. She's the worst. I'll see you guys tomorrow. You can go to Chaos. Sorry.
Yeah, chaostheorycomic.com.
Chaostheorycomic.com. Check
and
that out.
OnlyStupidAnswers.com for my podcast with Sam Basher.
And if they want to follow you on Twitter,
at DJ Talks Trash.
Boom. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you very much. I'll see you tomorrow, 11 a.m. PT. Cool, Greg. Please cut the feed.